Thank you, Norman. Welcome everyone here this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to take a platform such as this with a captive audience. I want to tell you this morning, every individual in this room is here because God brought them here. Nothing happens by chance with God, I don't believe. And you're here this morning because of God's choice. Whether you want to believe that or not, that's up to yourself. But God has a plan, and God's word is going to be presented this morning. I have a, I work for a large company, and I run a small division in that company. On the back of my job trailer, I got Hammer Down. And my motto is, nothing's too big or too small, we'll get it done. But when it comes to God's word and preaching, I have to take a different outlook because it's God's work, and all we can do as servants is present the truth, and we leave the rest to God. So my approach is not quite similar as I would approach my own job. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning that we have a sure word. We have a sure salvation. We have a resurrected Savior. And Father, we have an eternal home with Him. Father, we thank Thee for salvation. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We pray that as we would present it this morning, that it would reach hearts, that it would speak to individuals. And Father, we know that Your Word will not return unto You void. So Father, pray that You would use me, Father, through Your word this morning. Amen. The most common verse that I'm aware of, and I believe it's probably true, in the word of God, in the gospel, if you're not familiar with the gospel, is the good news, is John 3:16. I'm sure, looking over the audience here this morning, that majority could quote it. Some know the circumstances around that verse. And we're not going to speak specifically on that verse. We're going to take one part of that verse this morning that I'd like to zero in on. But let's just read the verse, or we can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. That phrase is used twice in that chapter, and that's what I want to focus in on this morning. Those three words, should not perish. There's a common idea or belief out there today, and I broke it down into 4 points. This is the number one thing I believe is common in our circles, not in our evangelical circles, but in our community circles, in our provincial circles. In circles around the world, in North America, these are things that are common. People believe in Jesus, but they do not obey Him or relate their life to His. People believe that Jesus died on the cross, but they have not received Him, neither do they feel they have to. People believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but live as though He was dead. And people even believe, or some do, in a coming judgment, but don't feel accountable. Do you believe that? I think that's what I'd call this is unbelieving believing. Well, they believe, but it's a mindset. It has never pricked their hearts. They've never had a real consciousness of sin. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. We're going to read three verses that have that word perish in it so that we can understand really what John 3:16 is talking about when it says, should not perish. The word perish is used in this verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. The Lord Jesus speaking, it says, if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." That word perish there is in the physical sense. Let thy whole body not perish, or that one of thy members be destroyed or taken away or perish. Over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 25. For context, we'll read verse 24. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep," speaking of the Lord Jesus. "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." They were scared for their very lives. The sea was tossing that boat to and fro, and the disciples were scared for their lives. And they awoke the Lord Jesus and said, "Save us or we perish." One more reference to that word perish. Chapter 9 and verse 17. "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." So when the word perished was translated into the English language, was it too strong? Was it clear in its translation to describe exactly what it means? Or what we think it means? Well, in the physical sense, I believe it means simply this. In the three things that we talked about, it was something that was destroyed or ruined or taken away. It perished. Perishable fruit. We know that it's not edible, it's no value, it's no good. So we understand that in the physical sense, that's very clear. But in John 3:16, the verse that we read this morning, it refers not to the body, but to the soul. You see, the body gradually decomposes, but the soul never loses its consciousness. By definition, concerning the soul, the word perish, I believe, is correct in its definition when it says it's an inward ruin. Maybe you've never heard this before, but a soul that will perish in hell, in reference to that, it says, "where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." See, the soul never loses its consciousness. The soul will perish without salvation. I was recently, just last week, I was at a function, and there was a moment of silence requested for a gentleman, I don't know his name, that had passed away just recently. And it wasn't a church meeting, and there was a moment of silence. 30 seconds of complete silence. And I thought to myself, number one, has that man perished? I don't know if the rest of the crowd was thinking that. I was. And then my mind went to this. Does everyone in this room, and I don't know their hearts, but I would say, as the gospel was presented last week, broad is the road, I would suspect that most of those men and women in that room were perishing. And I wondered, do they know they're perishing? I highly doubt it. And I thought to myself, oh, I'd love to have the platform for 5 minutes and to tell them the good news that they ought not, that they should not perish. You see, should not perish. I like that word, should. Should not. God's desires for every boy, girl, woman, man, everyone in the world, his desire is that they not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's desire for you this morning. But we want to understand this morning the aspects of perishing. And there's two of them. The first one is a judicial sentence over mankind. And we go back to the inception of sin, when sin entered the world, and as we are descendants of those people, our parents, Adam and Eve, we have inherited a disease called sin, and a judicial sentence was passed upon the world. All have sinned, all have fallen short, all are on their way to hell. It's across the board. That's judicially. A divine judgment was passed upon humanity, and everyone was perishing. It's an extreme penalty. It's an extreme penalty. The lake of fire. Gehenna, the Bible refers to it as. A lake of fire. I think of that passage in the Word of God about the two men that passed through time and into eternity. The rich man and Lazarus. If you've never heard about it, listen carefully. Two men passed into eternity. One went to heaven. The other one went to that terrible place. And as he would roar out and he'd say, "Send someone to dip their finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment." That's where he was. He was conscious of where he was. And he pleads to send someone to warn. You see, the gospel, the presentation of the gospel, I'm not going to entice you with all the lovely things. I'm going to warn you, as the Lord Jesus did time and time again, about judgment. And the gospel is the finale of the good news, that you don't need to be a part of that. We're not here to tell you that it's just we're not going to sugarcoat what's going to happen in a coming day apart from you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We would do a grave injustice to the gospel. We're here to tell you that there's terrible, extreme consequences to neglecting and to perishing in your sins. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're going to talk a little bit later about three verses that would tell you whether you're perishing. You want to listen carefully to that. Because the Bible leaves nothing undone. The Bible's very clear on destination, on your final destination. And we wanted to listen very clearly to three verses that would tell you whether you are actually perishing. Someone has quoted this: our destiny in the next life is inseparable from our character in this life. Our destiny in the next life is inseparable from our character in this life. It's often been quoted, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. What is true of heaven is also true of that place called hell. Whatever sins you're involved in, if you've never come to grips with your sinnership, if you've never come to see yourself as a sinner for whom Christ died, all the sins, all the passions, all the lusts, they're with you. I knew of a young man, he was 18 years old, under the sound of the gospel for many years, heard the gospel time and time again. And what he decided to do was to move away from the influence of the gospel. And so he moved away. And he went to another province. And he picked up what he thought he could do. But you know what? The problem was, he was there. He had taken himself with him, and he couldn't separate himself from who he was. and that was sin. And you know who that young man was? That was me. I could remember very clearly trying to get away from the influence of the gospel, the influence, the fact that I was perishing, that I was on my way to hell. But I couldn't separate myself from my sin, and my sin followed me. How about you this morning? Are you aware that you're a sinner? Someone shared with me this morning in the same passage, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And it was brought to my attention this morning. Why would he ever look? Why would that Israelite ever look to the serpent? Why would he ever do it? Because he understood he had been bitten. And my friend this morning, the same goes to you. If you don't understand that you're a sinner, under condemnation, under God's wrath, under God's judgment, and that you're presently perishing, you'll never get a hold of salvation. You see, if you could possibly, and you can't, if you could possibly get away from divine judgment, if you could sneak out of that, which you can't, you cannot sneak away from who you are. And that is a sinner. You see, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You see, we don't preach a work salvation. We're not telling you this morning that you need to clean up your act and get better and stop involving yourself in the things that are contrary to the Word of God and that are sin. We're not propagating that, because that'll get you nowhere. But I want to tell you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ and you pass out into eternity, it's those deeds that you will pay for all eternity. By the deeds of the law, no man shall be justified. We're very clear on that this morning. The law, the gospel, the truth, the Ten Commandments all point us to the fact that we're sinners. And you that are familiar with the Old Testament would know that the law could never save a man. Only Jesus Christ can. Moses spoke it very well when he said this: be sure your sin will find you out. That's the first one, a divine judgment. You're under the condemnation of a divine judgment. God has placed over humanity because of the fall of man. It's divine. It's across the board. Oh, those individuals that have sinned have fallen short and have no place in heaven. That would be a dismal message to preach. Secondly, it's a present process. Wow, I got lots of time and I'm close to the end. I'm not going to speak any longer than what I have in front of me here. Here's the tests. You want to know if you're perishing this morning? Do you want to be sure of salvation? Do you want to know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven? Listen to the verses. Are you perishing? Ask yourself. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 says this: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to read that verse one more time. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Christian has great comfort in the cross. I had someone, an acquaintance of mine, that asked me, knew that I was preaching this morning, not saved, and asked me what I was preaching on. And so I took the opportunity in a very kind of a confined nutshell, and I gave that individual the gospel. And you know, the very next breath, it was about something else. It was foolishness to them. They had no interest in it. It never pricked their conscience. as far as I could tell, or maybe they sidetracked it because it did. I don't know. But the preaching of the cross to them that are perishing presently, it's foolishness. Do you hear this gospel message time and time again and go out of this building and just do whatever you choose to do and not think twice about it? Then I want to tell you this. It's proof that you're perishing. Because a Christian has great value in the cross. Amen? It's our only hope. It's our only hope for eternity. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was my substitute. I take great value in that work. How about you? It's a test. Are you perishing? Is it any value or is it just foolishness? I didn't write this verse down. We can turn to it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 and 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This verse tells me that there's absolutely no hope at this point. Was there a time in your life when you had an interest in the gospel message? Did it prick your conscience? Or are you just knowingly refusing it? Are you procrastinating for days, weeks, hours, decades? Have you filled a pew and a chair in this place and you're older now? And everyone thinks you're saved. And you fill the pew and you come every Sunday morning. But it hasn't got to your heart. If it hasn't got to your heart, then it's a proof that you're perishing. Only you can answer that. God is not mocked. These individuals had no love of the truth. Does it break your heart when you hear in the breaking of bread about what the Savior did? What he accomplished? It was shared this morning that it was in three dark hours and all the judgment and all the billows and all the wrath of a holy God to an undeserving son was poured out on him for you. Does that touch you? Or are you just complacent? That's proof that you're perishing. Because it touches my heart. I am assured of my salvation on the basis that Jesus Christ died for me. How about you? If our gospel be hid, it is hid or veiled to them that are perishing. Is the gospel hidden to you? Is it just a message and you just don't really have anything? It's nothing to you. It's veiled. And Satan is doing that. He wants you to not be concerned. And if Satan has you in that spot, then I would tell you this. It's proof that you are perishing. The Lord Jesus spoke these words. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what I have. I've got eternal life, and I am assured from the very lips of the God of heaven that I will never perish. Do you have that assurance this morning? Young one, those in the balcony, those in the fireside room, left and right, are you assured of eternal life? Because my Savior says, I have given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let's go to the last part of that verse, John 3:16. But have everlasting life. Before I do that, I want to just go over a few things that you will not be able to say to God in a coming day. Things that you will not be able to say to Him. Number one, you'll never say to God, why did you allow me to perish? You'll never be able to say those words. Because there's opportunity here this morning to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Why didn't you tell me how serious this was? You'll never say those words. It'll fall to deaf ears. Because, my friend, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished in this life. I have a few things that I've done. I got a Red Seal carpenter. I'm a Red Seal carpenter. Built a few buildings. You know, rub shoulders with some influential people. It doesn't amount to anything if you're perishing. There's no value in that. There's absolutely zero value in all those things if you're perishing. You'll never be able to, this will fall on deaf ears in a coming day. Why didn't you tell me that to perish was so horrifying? You'll never be able to say those words. They'll fall on deaf ears. As a matter of fact, God even says in His Word that He will not even remember you if you die in your sins. Why didn't you tell me that perishing is loneliness and bitterness and gnashing of teeth with pain and hate and mercy and utter hopelessness? I don't know how much clearer I can tell you, but if you're perishing this morning, you need to trust Jesus Christ. It's a black and white thing. There's no middle ground. Let's look at that final part of that verse, have everlasting life. What's really at stake here? It's life. That's what's at stake. Presently here, today, life is at stake. Eternal life or eternal damnation. Chances are you'll leave this building and nothing will change in your life. That's possible. Happens all the time. You'll go out those doors and you'll carry on with your exact same lifestyle. The exact things will happen tomorrow. You'll still keep on climbing to financial success. You'll do all the same things and nothing will change. That's entirely possible. But let me tell you, it's temporal. It's limited to time. That's what that is. It's all limited to time. And you see, death, physical death, is the doorway to eternity. Saved or unsaved. It's just, really, if you're perishing this morning, you're under a reprieve. You got a few days left, maybe a few years. You know what a reprieve is? It's a sentence that's gonna come down, but it's down the road. And so you got just a reprieve. Someone waiting in a penitentiary for a life sentence. They're going to get killed in the electric chair. That's what you're under. It's just a matter of time. I don't know what else I can tell you. You see, you can desire eternal life and still perish. You could be pricked in your conscience this morning and still perish. That's not salvation. Salvation is not just to be, think about it for a few moments. That's not salvation. You can long to have a Christian lifestyle and perish. You see, the difference between heaven and hell is centered in a person. And it's in its appreciation of that person that makes a difference. You're saved through faith by grace, trusting wholly in a work that you had absolutely nothing to do with. It was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on a cross, dying for your sin and mine. That's the difference. Salvation is in a person. That's what makes the difference. I'll end the message. I guess I did take up most of the time. A phrase that's mentioned twice with the whosoever. It says this: whosoever believeth should not perish. That's the gospel. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'll not perish. And you'll have a present possession of eternal life. Two universal destinies for mankind. The second one reads in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Where do you fall this morning? Are you born again? Are you saved? Maybe you don't understand the terminology. This is what you need to understand. You can be on the way to hell and turn around and be on the way to heaven today. Present possession, eternal life today by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the good news of the gospel. There's great judgment pending, but there's a great Savior who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, turning around and trusting Him as Savior. I'll tell you, I did it September 10th, 1988. I can remember the day as clear as it was today. I was born again. I didn't understand all that happened, but I'll tell you what, I can remember this, and I said it before. I lived on the third story of an apartment building. And I'll tell you, it felt like there was about 5,000 pounds off my back going down those stairs. I don't remember taking them. And I don't base it on a feeling. But I'll tell you, there's an awful load when you're carrying your own sin. And those sins will take you to a devil's hell apart from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so very thankful that the message of salvation is for whosoever will. And Father, in this audience this morning, I suspect there's probably some that are perishing. Inward ruin, never to be remembered anymore. Father, no one's here by chance. Your word is very clear. We thank Thee for the Savior, the lover of souls, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.